The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all. The president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager, John Horst. By far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. It was one and done in Vegas. The Bucks came back empty-handed from the NBA's first ever in-season tournament. But the team came home hungry. And it showed on Monday night as the Bucks came out firing against the Chicago Bulls. It took grit and defense to finally put the Bulls away. The Bucks sealed the deal in overtime. So where do we stand with a quarter of the season already in the books? Tonight we'll get some insight and some answers from the head of the herd, the head coach of the Bucks, Adrian Griffin. Adrian, it's always great to sit down with you. Welcome back to Courtside.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Coach, another W and another barn burner Monday night. Coach, if we keep winning like this, I'm going to have to buy my wife a new defibrillator.
Yeah. I might have to buy my wife one, too.
Oh, gosh. Well, you couldn't help but notice, Coach, that Giannis really put the team on his back again in the fourth quarter and in overtime. And, Coach, as you may know, he's chasing history. It was his sixth straight game, scoring at least 30 points and hitting at least 60% from the floor. No surprise, I guess, but Coach Giannis is turning in a tremendous season so far.
No, I think he's been great. He's been wonderful. I mean, it's hard to put his performance into words. He's just a superior athlete, superior player, basketball player, and even better person, you know. And I thought he played a terrific game last night against the Bulls. He only had two field goal attempts in the first half, but he was getting everybody involved. The ball was hopping. He was just, I think that's his maturation as far as taking complete control of a game. And I think the second half, he did what he needed to do for us to win, and he started to assert himself more. But, you know, we put up 74 points in the first half, and a lot of that was because of Giannis and just the way – he's commanding a lot of attention, as we know, and he was just spreading the ball around and making the right play. And I think in the second half, we needed him to be more assertive, and, you know, he just kind of put his cape on and saved the day. But, you know, it was just a total team effort. I thought we had some great performance from a lot of individuals.
Coach, as you saw, the shots were not falling for Damian Lillard Monday night, but I know you think he still played a very big role in the win.
Well, of course, he didn't shoot it well. And, you know, there's going to be nights like that where the ball doesn't fall. But can you do the other things? You know, he had 9 assists, thought he did a great job of making the right play. You know, he was hitting the paint and spraying around and getting his teammates involved. And we needed those 9 assists. The way the ball is hopping and the way we're sharing the ball, it's been great. And I think, if you look down the stretch, you know, he was aggressive on the defensive end. I thought he took the challenge on, you know, they were trying to get a switch, switch him on to DeRozan. And I thought he did a really good, solid job of just staying in front of him. And, you know, of course, you know, we got to rebound a little bit more, take command of the those defensive boards and limit them to one shot. But I thought, you know, Dame played a solid game, you know, regardless of, outside of not shooting it well. Sometimes you can still play well and impact a game even when the ball's not falling. I thought he did that last night.
And, Coach, speaking of rebounding, Chris Middleton came up big on the boards Monday night.
Yes, I think he had 13 defensive rebounds or rebounds, period. Just having him on the floor is just invaluable for us. And, you know, the first time we played Chicago, we didn't have him in overtime. And, he was a big deciding factor this time in the overtime. We needed him. He grabbed a couple of defensive rebounds. you know, his defense on DeRozan is tough. DeRozan is a handful for anybody, you know, but I think I trust Chris in those situations. He's a veteran guy. But we needed his leadership last night, and he came through for us. And we needed this win, and I was glad that, you know, we had him in the game and we had him in overtime to do so.
Chris, of course, as you know very well, Coach, started the season on minutes restriction after a knee surgery during the summer. Where do we stand with Chris's playing time?
Well, he's doing great. Like, he had a, you know, right knee procedure, did a wonderful job with his rehab. We thought it was smart for him and for us to not rush the process. So he was on a minute restriction for the first part of, you know, the first, you know, I want to say 20 or so games. And but now he's his minutes are increasing, and that's good news for us. You know, like I said, we're much better team with when Chris is on the floor. But, you know, it just comes down to how well he responds each day. You know, I spoke to him this morning, and he was feeling really good. And I had to apologize because I said, hey, I know, like, this is a little longer than what you've played in the, you know, past for this season. And but he said, hey, I feel good, Coach. And so that made me feel a little bit better. And, you know, definitely going to need him, you know, tomorrow against Indy.
And, Coach, you have called Chris Middleton one of the smartest players you've ever been involved with. Talk about his instincts. Talk about his understanding of the game. Talk about what he means to you as almost like a coach on the floor.
No, he's definitely a coach on the floor. He's the extension of our coaching staff. You know, I trust Chris 100%. There's been times where, you know, I may call a play and he may have a play, and you know, we're going with Chris because, you know, I played this game, and I know as a player, you see the game differently. You're in the trenches, and I trust me, he's a veteran guy. He's a proven guy. He's a winner. He's an NBA champion. And there's been times where he's just making calls on the fly. He's getting our players in the right spots. He's a great communicator, a great teammate, has a great pulse on what the team needs at the time. So it's invaluable when you have a player like Chris on the floor that can just be an extension of what you're trying to accomplish at the staff. So very, very, you know, pleased and grateful to have a player like Chris on this team.
More with Coach Griffin in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gale and Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Coach, we mentioned earlier that a quarter of the season, gosh, already in the books. Give us your take, if you will, on the state of the team. And first, let's talk about our offense. In the early going, really been in the top five in the league.
Well, I think that's, you know, a lot. First, you know, it's always the players. Like, they've totally, you know, bought in. We've had some special talent on the team, of course, but it takes all five guys working together. You know, I know that Dame and Giannis get a lot of attention, and rightly so. They're phenomenal, right? Top 75 all-time players, you know, ever play this game. So certainly special individuals, but, you know, Malik's been great, and Brooke has been phenomenal. And, you know, we got, you know, Chris and even the guys coming off the bench, and we've been shorthanded a little bit with some injuries, you know, no Pat and no Jay. So those guys, you know, everyone has plays an important role. And I just love when, you know, we're executing and we're sharing the ball and we get the ball hopping and, you know, we're high in assists. I think we had 33 assists against Atlanta, 32 against New York. We had quite a few in the first half of this of the game last night. I think just their execution and their unselfishness is a big part of the reason why, you know, we're top five in our offense. And also give a shout out to my staff. You know, they work extremely hard. They're very competent, and they're just doing their best and putting their best foot forward. And so it you know, it takes a village. So I think everyone's moving in the right direction, pulling for each other, and that's what it's about. The collaboration and the teamwork is I think it's been exceptional.
Coach, tell us a bit about a player new to Bucks fans this season who's obviously a tremendous shooter, Malik Beasley.
Well, Malik, he's been kind of like the glue, so to speak, of he's a byproduct of how we're playing. I kind of know if we're playing the right way, you know, Malik he's getting 6, 7, 8 threes, you know, and if the ball is sticking, I know like his numbers are down. So he's the barometer, you know, so to speak. But not just on the offensive end, but he's taking the toughest assignment on the defensive end. And he's doing a phenomenal job. You know, he's fighting and he's scrappy and he's showing that he's just not a three-point shooter. You know, he's putting his best foot forward, and that's all you could ask. You know, some nights he may be undersized because he's guarding bigger guards, but he's still fighting. And some night it may be a quicker guard, but he's finding a way to impact the game on the defensive end, just not a three-point shooter. So I just appreciate his effort. You know, he's a team-first guy, doesn't care about, you know, getting his numbers. He's just doing whatever it takes for our team to win.
And, Coach, rumor is you're the one that taught him the shimmy that he does after he makes two or three of those three.
No, I didn't talk. The shimmy drives me crazy, you know. I'm old school, you know. I'll take it. If that's what it takes for the ball to go in, he could shimmy away.
Well, when we see you doing a shimmy on the sidelines, we'll make sure we keep the tape.
I might shimmy with him if he keeps making those threes.
There you go, Coach. And now turning to our defense, a work clearly in progress. Where do we need to improve, Coach?
Well, I think, first of all, we're making strides. You know, sometimes that gets overlooked. Like I think we started out, defensively in the high 20s, and I think in the last 13 games, we've made significant improvement on our defense. And you're right, it's still a work in progress, but the guys are committed to getting it right. I think, like anything, you know, there are just certain things you have to do to win ball games, and, you know, one of those most critical things is you have to rebound, you know. You have to sprint back and transition, limit teams to one shot, and you know, that's one thing we continue to stress, and obviously we continue to teach, and we're getting better. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to build the habits needed, but the guys understand, like, you know, I always say, you know, rebounding covers up a lot of mistakes. You know, you can make a lot of mistakes on any given possession, but if you can rebound, it's, you know, all is forgotten. But you know, you just don't want to lose games because you fail to block out, and you know, it's tough. You know, it's not just on them. You know, sometimes I'm putting them different coverages, and then that's not easy. You know, we may go zone, we may blitz a little bit, so it's they're learning me, I'm learning them. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, we got to do better on the boards.
Understand. And Coach, two younger players are getting some meaningful minutes from you this season. If you will, talk with us about what you're seeing from Marshawn Beauchamp and our friend A.J. Green.
Well, Marshawn, you know, you can see his talent. You know, he's everything that, you know, you think of a, you know, NBA player. He has size, he has athleticism, he has, you know, wingspan, and we had him guarding, you know, ones, twos, threes, fours, you know, on offensively, he's very gifted. You know, he's capable three-point shooter. He could put on the floor, finish at the basket. So I love, like, what he's bringing to the table. And, you know, he's still young. He's still a work in progress, and you never stop working. But I think the future is bright for Marjon, and I love what he's bringing to the table. And then AJ, he's been, you know, he's been – invaluable off the bench, you know. Just it takes a real pro to sit there. Then some games he plays, some games he doesn't play. But you know, him coming in and you know, he has that shooter's confidence. You know, when I played, if I missed my first shot, I didn't look at the rim. You know, I was done for the game. But he has that shooter mentality that he knows the next shot is going in, and that's what I love about him, because we need his spacing. You know, him spacing the floor. We need his 3-point shooting. And but he, you know, he had 5 boards last game, 5 or 6 wow. boards. He's just not a 3-point shooter. Like, he's tough and gritty. And that's what you need, you know, as a role player and to make it in a career as an NBA player. You know, you got to be great at what you do, of course, but you need that toughness, and, you know, you got to bring that energy off the bench. And I think he's doing that, and he's been great for us.
More with Coach Griffin right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gale and Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Adrian, you've said that one of your core philosophies as a coach is collaboration, a give and take of ideas between the players and the coaching staff. And our listeners would love to hear an example of how you've put that concept to work in your first year here leading the Bucks.
Well, I think early on, just getting to know the players, getting to know me. And as a coach, you always want to put your players in the best position to succeed and on the court. And, you know, early on, I came in with a different, you know, defensive philosophy as far as pick and rolls. You know, I sat down with our coaches, sat down with John and his staff, and, you know, it is collaboration. Sat down with the players, and we're trying to figure out what's the best, you know, pick and roll, strategy conducive to this team. And, you know, with Brooke, just the way that he protects the paint, it just made sense to have him in a little deeper drop. You know, in the past, I've kind of been accustomed with our bigs up, you know, almost to the level of screen or you know, maybe a couple feet below the screen. But I think for the success of the team, it just made sense for Brooke. And then our defense has improved, and our pick and roll defensive numbers have improved. And so, you know, those things, you know, as coaches, sometimes, you know, we can be stubborn, but I thought, you know, this is, it doesn't have to be my idea. It just has to be the best idea. So, you know, we've all had the same goal in mind, and that's to win a championship. And you can't do that alone. You have to, you know, operate as a team. You have to work together. You have to collaborate. You got to put the players in the best situation so that they can be successful. So I think Brooke, that's just one example of just Brooke being in more of a drop, and he's thriving. I think he's tied or leading the league in blocks. If I'm not mistaken, he's up there. So he's doing a tremendous job of protecting the paint.
And Pat Connaughton told us last week, talking about Brooke, that Brooke has just said to Father Time, not yet.
No, not yet. He's like fine wine. He just keeps getting better and better. You know, like Brooke, and he really does. He does so many things for us on the court. Not just with his shot blocking, he can stretch the floor with his 3-point shooting. He can put it on the floor. He does. You know, he does it all. You know, we talk about Giannis' athleticism, and rightly so. But you know, Brooke at his age and his size and how he could continue to impact the game. You know, he's a freak in his own nature.
That makes a lot of sense. Fine wine and 280 pounds.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, the Bucks have just begun one of the longest homestands of the season, 6 straight games in the friendly confines of Fiserv Forum. Coach, with the time here at home now, are you going to be able to fit in more practice time for the team? I know, and many fans may not realize, that practice time is really difficult to come by during a regular NBA season.
No, it's definitely been scarce, especially the first part of the season. And what we've done in the past, it just use our shoot-arounds more like a mini practice. Like nothing, you know, we're not putting the players through anything hard or anything. It's just we got to spend a little bit more on film, more time on film, a little bit more time on going over our rotations and our plays, and So we've kind of just used shoot around as a hybrid. But we will have a few games here, I think, but not many. You know, we play, I think we got a back-to-back game after Indiana, Detroit, and Houston, and then, you know, we got San Antonio and Orlando coming up. So the games come fast, you know, and that's a not just a challenge for our team, but every team in the NBA is how do you find time to practice. But I think that the one of the positives is we have a very, you know, experienced veteran team that, you know, super smart, super intelligent. They pick up on things, even if we show them on film. So, but we have to use it all. You know, we're going to have to use film. We're going to have to use practices. We're going to have to use our shoot-arounds and try to find ways to get better. But, you know, finding the time is always a challenge in the NBA.
And switching gears a bit, Coach, I understand that the Bucks reached another milestone Monday night. 150 straight sellouts at Fiserv Forum, interrupted only by the COVID period. Coach, that says a whole lot about the loyalty of Bucks fans.
You know, I think we won, I want to say, don't quote me, but at least 8 or 10 home games in a row or whatnot. And I truly mean it, that the reason is that we have the best fan base. You know, it's electric in there. You know, we've been down some games this season, and every time we try to make a run for it, it's, the fans kind of just push us over the top. You know, they you know, there were a couple times that we've been down by 20. I think in the Portland game we were down 26, and the fans never gave up on us. And as we started to make a move, you know, it started to get louder and louder. And it gave us, you know, that extra boost. I think it's definitely an advantage for us, you know, playing at home. The players love it. You know, I love the energy. And we just got to keep it going. You know, we all have high aspirations for this team. But, you know, having fans like here in Milwaukee, we're confident that we can do it because of all the support that we're getting.
And finally, Coach, another big test on the horizon. We face the Indiana Pacers next, the team that knocked us out of the in-season tournament. What, in your mind, are two or three keys that fans should look for as the Bucks look to bounce back against a fast, young, dangerous Pacer team?
You know, like, just when you play the Indiana Pacers, it's just, you know, you have to get back in transition and you have to limit them to one shot. You know, they play with so much pace. Those are the two primary things. You know, try to get them in the half court, get our defense set. You know, obviously we're going to game plan against them as best as we can. But I think just the controllables, are not giving them easy baskets in transition, number one. And then once we do stop, you know, limit them to one shot. And I think if you do that, you got a chance. If you don't, it's going to be very difficult to beat them.
Well, we wish you all the best on the Pacers. And as the season rolls on, Coach, always great fun to visit with you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.